Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word Rightly Divided. We'll be continuing today going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 2. We've been looking at verse number 11. It says, "As ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children." We've been looking at this issue over the last few episodes in this section of where the Apostle Paul has been dealing with some things of how when him, Silas, and Timothy had come and ministered in Thessalonica for those 3 weeks, how these saints were able to look at them, see how they were living their life, and view it as a pattern for themselves on how they should be living their lives. And the Apostle Paul is the pattern for the members of the body of Christ. Once we put our trust in the gospel message for today, the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again on the third day according to Scriptures. Once we put our trust in that, we become a member of the body of Christ, and we are to follow the Apostle Paul as he followed Christ. You know, he also says, "As ye have received the Lord Jesus, so walk ye in him." We received him by grace through faith. We should be walking in him by grace through faith. And we left off last time with this issue of when he says, "As you know how we exhorted and comforted." So he's getting into this issue of the comfort that these members of the body of Christ received from Paul, Silas, and Timothy as they were there. And, you know, every member of the body of Christ at some point in time in their life needs to have comfort given unto them. Because Paul talks about how we're given to suffer for his sake. You know, that there are a number of things that are going to happen to us, you know, partly because of our stance for the Word of God rightly divided, but also partly because we're living in these fleshly bodies in this world, that there's going to be different things that are going to occur to us that we're going to need comfort. And we need to have an idea of what our source of comfort is actually going to be, because individuals, you know, try to find comfort in all sorts of ways, and there really is only one thing that's truly going to produce comfort in our lives. And let's go over to the book of 2 Corinthians. We'll go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 1 to see how the Apostle Paul is going to describe this here related to this idea of comfort in this passage. And here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, I want to read here verse number 3. It says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort." Now we're going to stop here for a moment. We're going to continue on reading some things in this chapter. But we see how Paul identifies the fact that God is the God of all comfort. It's not a thing of that he's the God of some comfort and that, you know, there's going to be comfort that can come from other things, or that, you know, God's not going to be able to provide in these situations. Paul identifies the fact that he is the God of all comfort. No matter what situation we find ourselves in, no matter what problems we are facing, God is going to be able to provide the comfort for us in those situations. And Paul goes on to describe how it is that we're actually going to receive they are comfort from God when we continue on here. Let's pick up here in verse number 4. It says, who comfort us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. And so we see the Apostle Paul describing this for the members of the body of Christ, talking about how in all of the tribulation that we're going to face in our life, that God is going to be able to provide that comfort. And that comfort's provided so that way we will actually be able to help those who are going through situations by showing them the comfort that we actually had received. Now we have to figure out how it is that we actually get this comfort from God that we're going to be able to share with other individuals. Now, we know if we study through Paul's epistles, the doctrine that's given to us for this dispensation today, it becomes very clear how it is that we receive this kind of comfort, because over and over again, the scriptures talk about how it's the word that actually is working in us. It's the word of God that's making changes in our life. It's the word of God that's doing things. So the word is actually what's providing the comfort for us. And we're able to share this comfort with other individuals by the fact that we can share, you know, the passages that actually are providing the comfort for us. So when we see that somebody is going through some tribulation or they're going through some problems in their life, that we can look at them and say, you know, I've went through something fairly similar to that, and here's how God was able to provide a comfort to me, and sharing verses that are actually going to help the person to be able to get through whatever that situation is. Because God wants us to be able to get through all the problems that we face in our life. God doesn't want us to be, you know, stopped administering the word of God to other individuals because we're dealing with things. Or he doesn't want us to get so fed up with, you know, any of these things that are going on that we just say, you know, enough is enough, and I'm not going to stand for the word of God rightly divided anymore. Or, you know, I'm going to make it easy on myself and I'll follow some other doctrine just so I don't have to face these problems in my life. That's not what God intends for us. God intends for the word to actually be working in our life so that way we can be able to get through whatever these things are. And that's why Paul describes how this process of being able to get through these type of situations occurs. If we go over to Romans chapter number 5 to see what the Apostle Paul is actually going to be writing here to this assembly in Rome, because he's going to give some other information that we can use to understand how it is that we are to be able to get through these things. And here in Romans chapter number 5, we're going to start at verse 1, because the Apostle Paul is going to be building upon the fact that we have our justification, and we have that justification because of the fact that we put our trust in what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. Verse 1 of Romans chapter number 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And so we see where the Apostle Paul is talking about this, about the fact that, you know, and this is a term that individuals really struggle with when he says that we glory in tribulations, that there's a glory that comes about when we're faced with these problems. And that glory comes about, you know, not because we are just so overjoyed by the fact that we're facing problems in our life, but the glory comes about because it allows the Lord Jesus Christ to be living through us, to be able to deal with those situations. And when the Lord Jesus Christ is working through us, it is truly glorious, because the glory isn't on us in any of these times. It's on Him when He's working through us. And the Apostle Paul talks about how, you know, that these problems, this tribulation, it works patience. It brings about a feeling of patience for the individual, because a person is able to see, by looking at their life, looking at the experience that they've had as a member of the body of Christ, that they've been able to get through the problems that come about in their life. And the patience is there because, okay, I know that, you know, I'm actually going to be able to get through this. And we're going to look at a couple verses in a minute here that's actually going to show why it is that we know that this thing, whatever it is truly going to have an end. And we can be patient to be able to wait for that end to occur. That patience brings about the experience because we can rely on, you know, what it is that we've done over and over again, as we've relied on the Word of God to be able to get through whatever the situation is. We know that we have that experience and we can be able to do it again based on the experience of actually getting through that situation. That experience then brings about hope. You know, the hope of that we know what's going to be at the end of this is that we're going to be through it. We're going to be stronger because of it, because we've been relying on the Word of God. We've been relying on the Lord Jesus Christ to get through it. And, you know, when God says, you know, to the Apostle Paul, "My grace is sufficient for thee," when Paul was asking for some things to be removed from himself, you know, Paul saw how that was good for him. And, you know, what he says there, and let's go over to that passage in 2 Corinthians chapter number 10 to see what how he describes it after God gives him that answer of, and it's actually in chapter number 12, not chapter number 10, of, you know, "My grace is sufficient for thee." And it's verse 10 of chapter 12 when he says, "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." And he knows that he's strong because it's the Lord Jesus Christ living through him. And that's the hope that comes about for him. He understands, as long as we're here in this book, let's go back to chapter number 4 of this same epistle, to see where Paul is going to say something. And again, this is one of those passages that when an individual is right in the middle of a problem going on in their life, it's very hard to really see what it is that the Apostle Paul is saying here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to read the last two verses of the chapter, verses 17 and 18, which say, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." And here Paul, as he's saying this, and this is why I said it's hard for individuals to grasp this, because, you know, when you're right in the middle of a problem, it's hard to identify that as light affliction. And it's hard to identify the fact that it's but for a moment, because it feels like whatever the problem is has no end. And it feels like it's been going on and it's going on, and I don't know how I'm going to get through this. And Paul is saying that, you know, whatever it is, it's for a moment, because if you compare that period of time with when he says the things which are not seen are eternal, which means that we're building things up related to the, as he discussed, a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Because when we're relying on the Word of God to be able to get through whatever these situations are, then we're going to start building the gold, the silver, the precious stones to be able to have that there for when we are standing at the judgment seat of Christ to receive the reward based on the fact that we actually handled the things properly according to what the Word of God actually said. And that's why Paul's saying that these things are working for us, they have far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Because, you know, the true thing of what that hope that we have in heavenly places, as the next passage that we're going to be looking here that describes what is waiting for us. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter number 2 to see what it is that Paul is going to say here related to this idea of that suffering that he's been making a reference to here. And in 2 Timothy chapter number 2, we're going to read here verses 11 through 13. It says, "It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself." So when we look at this passage here, we see that verse 11, as Paul's defining this as a faithful saying, you know, verse 11 identifies the identification that we have, that we're identified in his death, burial, and resurrection. So if we're dead with him, we shall also live with him. So we know that that's a reality of who we are. And I'm going to skip down to verse 13 for a moment, because this is also going to be talking about a reality that we have, which is the fact of that we're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, that we cannot lose our salvation. So when he says, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, because he is the one who's abiding faithful, he, the Lord Jesus Christ, cannot deny himself. He cannot deny us because we are identified in him. He's in us, and he cannot deny himself. So when we look at verse number 12, you know, in between this idea of our identity and what is our hope and the reality of the fact that we can't lose our salvation, we see that there's this practical aspect of things when he says, if we suffer, we shall reign with him. So that takes it back to what I was talking about related to the judgment seat of Christ, that if we're suffering with him, that we're going to reign with him, because if we're suffering and doing the things properly according to what the Word of God says, we're going to be building the gold, silver, precious stones, and we're going to be securing that ability to reign with him as we receive that reward. And he says, if we deny him, and what he's talking about, that denying him here is we're denying him that suffering, because either we're not taking the proper stand related to the Word of God rightly divided, or we're not relying on the God of all comfort to be able to get through these things, then he's going to deny us that reward, that ability to reign with him that he was just making a reference to in the first part of verse number 12. You know, that's why it's, you know, over and over again talked about as these things are occurring, that there's a reigning, that there's glory that comes about with us, you know, related to where we're going to be in the heavenly places. You know, that's why we can see things. Let's go over to Romans chapter number 8, to where again we're going to see the Apostle Paul make a reference to something here related to what is going on with these things. And here in Romans chapter number 8, go read here verse number 18. It says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." And that ties in with what we had been looking at in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 about how, you know, these things are temporal, that they're, you know, that they're only for, you know, they can't be compared to that glory that's waiting for us, because, you know, everything that's happening here in our fleshly bodies, nothing on this earth can be compared to the spiritual blessings and heavenly places that are promised to us as the members of the body of Christ for when we appear with him in the heavenly places. And these are the things that, you know, we can focus on, but there's a practical aspect of what we need to do on a daily basis as we're going through these type of things to be able to get through them, to be able to rely on what the Word of God is actually saying here. I want to go over to Philippians chapter number 4 to see what it is that the Apostle Paul actually identifies here as part of this aspect of what it is that we are supposed to be doing. You know, these two verses are actually on, you know, my email signature. When I send an email to someone, these are the verses that are actually identified on there, because it's something that every member of the body of Christ really should be focusing on for themselves. We're going to read verses 6 and 7 here of Philippians chapter number 4, which say, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving for your request, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." So Paul identifies the fact that we should be turning all of these things over to God in prayer. And as we're turning these things over to God in prayer, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, when Paul says truly, he says, in everything by prayer and supplication, you know, he's not saying is, you know, there's individuals that say, well, that's only talking about the spiritual things. You know, Paul doesn't say in every spiritual thing. He says in everything. So he's talking about the fact that, you know, whether it's spiritual things, whether it's the physical things, whatever the situation is, with by prayer and supplication, and as always, you know, what always goes along with prayer is thanksgiving. You know, those two things, you know, are go hand in hand. You always see Paul, when he mentions prayer, thanksgiving follows immediately right after that, showing how those two things, you know, just kind of keep fitting together. Our request should be made known unto God, and as those requests are known, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, is going to come to us. And that peace of God is what helps us to be able to get through these problems on a day-to-day basis, so that way we can live the life that God intends for us to live. Now, in our next episode, we're going to continue on in this passage. We're going to start looking at the charge that the Apostle Paul is talking about that he's giving to these saints. And as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have audio files of our Sunday messages. We have information about how to watch our Sunday services live as they are broadcast on Facebook. We have information about how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option as well. And as always, if you ever have any questions about any of our broadcasts, any of our messages, anything that you read on our website, there's contact information on our website for us. We would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, remember that Jesus Christ is Lord.